Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 ads and popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies, coming to you once again from a mad, 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 mad world with another Homes Alone edition. It's Sunday, February 14th, Valentine's Day, 2021, and my guests are a bunch of sweethearts. Joining me today are Adam Brody, Evan Morgan, and Claire Kramer. Hello, everybody.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
Thank you so much for being here. Let's introduce everybody individually so the listeners know who's speaking at all times. Starting with first-time guest, Adam Brody is here. Hello, Adam.
Hi there. Thanks for having me. Listeners, this is me with the at once very low and also very high voice. Very nasally, low and nasally.
I've always been a fan of your role in the Mr. and Mrs. Smith movie.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
I wish I could agree, but anyways, go on.
I like the whole movie, but yeah, I mean, I'm certain I wouldn't be surprised if you have issues with your...
I like the whole movie, maybe except for me. But anyways, go.
Yeah.
Don't let me cut you off. Tell me more.
Are you that critical of yourself all the time, or is this one special?
Just when it's warranted. I'm not overly, I just think as any professional, you know?
Yeah.
That was a real missed opportunity for me as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, really? You think you didn't sell getting hit in the face with a phone?
No, it's just, it's quite a big stage in a nice movie that plays on 7 channels concurrently until the end of time.
Yeah.
And it was very loose in terms of like figuring out the scripts on the day and stuff. So there was room to interject. If I had anything of note or value or humor mostly to add, you know, the floor was all mine and I didn't. And I wish I could have come up with something, you know, some better stuff to say. That's all.
Yeah, I get it. I think you transcend what you're saying in the film and I enjoy you in it very much. But yeah, I do enjoy the entire movie. And but I brought it up just because, did you see they're you know, making a new version of it?
I don't know. Yeah. And I don't know what to think of that or I don't know. You know, I mean, clearly they must have an idea there. You know, there must be a real new take on it. And I'm curious what that is.
Yeah. Other than just maybe, oh, that looks like that would be fun to do, you know.
I would expect, and maybe I'll be proven wrong, but I would expect with those two and you know, I don't want to say subversive necessarily, but I don't know, the way they're kind of breaking molds, I would just suspect there's a real fresh idea, and it's not, I would be disappointed if at the end of the day, they're just like, we like those roles. We'll just kind of do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I look forward to whatever it is and whenever it comes along, cause it might be a minute. Also joining us today is the writer director of Adam Brody's latest film, his latest starring role as the titular character in Kid Detective. It's Evan Morgan. Hello, Evan.
Hey.
How are you doing, man?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for taking an hour out of your Valentine's Day to be here. I assume you have a lot of activities and things that you like to do on this special day.
No, I, you know, I feel like at this point, I've been in a relationship for 8 years. We have a child now. Every single year I get in trouble on Valentine's Day. Every single year I think, oh, maybe like we've reached a place of no expectations. and then I get in trouble all over again. And, this morning, it really was just, I should have gotten up and like cleaned and made some breakfast. And, you know, it's been, we have a very young child, only 2 months. He's just turned 2 months. And so, yeah, I really dropped the ball. I should have seen this one coming.
Well, your tradition is getting in trouble. So
Yeah.
Well, you know, she would miss it if she didn't get to yell at you.
I wonder. maybe next year we'll experiment with that and see.
Well, I love too that you you managed to still get away for an hour to talk to us. So congratulations.
I love movie trivia. I love it. It's truly one of my favorite things to do with my friends. And again, because of COVID, we haven't done it in over a year. So I'll be probably more competitive than I should be.
Well, I should say that I'm happy to hear that, because we've had instituted a rule on the show that if a guest wins at the games, you know, if they prevail at the end, they're invited to come back on the next show. And we just started doing this a few months ago. And Claire Kramer, who's also here. Hi, Claire.
Hi, Doug.
She has been bulldozing the competition. This will be her fifth show in a row. Wow. Is that correct?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. So
the last week was a bit of a lucky episode. It swung in my favor by knowing you, Doug, and not necessarily knowing, you know,
right,
all the answers.
Right. You played the player, not the game.
Not by choice.
There's no cap on it. So you can just go on and on and on, theoretically.
There is no cap on it. And I've discussed it with some fans of the show on Twitter. And turns out that they would be fine with if it became a show where just every week people came on and tried to beat Claire.
Well, it was, yeah. This is our second run, though, Doug.
Yeah, we had another long run a few years back when the show was, you know, in front of a live audience. And she was 9 months pregnant.
Ooh. By the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You went 10 weeks in a row, I think.
Yeah. It was really fun. And it was fun being backstage with you guys, being super pregnant. Not being able to participate in all the extracurricular activities, but still.
Oh, that's true. We did we did a lot of punching each other.
But I think it was my third or fourth baby at that point. I think it was my fourth even. And so I was like, I didn't even give up coffee or, you know, anything with that one. I was like, he's fine.
And then when you did give birth, you just did it in the car and tossed the kid out the window as you drove
right
to the hospital.
Yeah. Basically.
Well, thank you for being back and for spending the next couple of minutes hearing more about Kid Detective. Is there's no "the" on it, Evan? It's just
there is so there right is a "the," but you know what, people are doing their own thing with it. I see it referred to as Kid Detective probably more than the Kid Detective.
Yeah, okay. Taking the "the" off always makes something sound a little hipper, I guess.
Well, that's what they say. That's the Timberlake / Sean Parker philosophy for sure.
Facebook, it's cleaner. he's brilliant. But yeah, you did a terrific job with the movie, though. I watched it today, which I don't normally do. A lot of times when guests come on the show that have a movie, I don't watch it because I'd just rather be in a neutral space of just excitement for them and the fact that they made a movie and not, you know, have to
sure.
hide or sugarcoat or change my opinion. But I had a lovely time watching that film today. I had a strong feeling that I would like it. And then I did. Not that you need to, I didn't bring you here to tell you that, but I did want to bring it up because, like I said, I usually don't see the movies. So this one.
Thank you for rolling the dice, and I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah, well, I'm here to say to everybody, it's worth $6. That's what that's the price it's at now. Every movie is like a stock on the stock market these days. And you just sit and you wait for the prices to come down. And in this particular case, I think it's already in a very sweet spot. I think $6 is a great deal for this movie. And Adam, what attracted you to this particular part?
Just Evan's writing. You know, I mean, the concept's great, but his voice, you know, he was very instrumental in another movie called The Dirties equally this movie Kid Detective takes a pretty big swing, I think, and tonally and this other movie does as well called The Dirties, and that was special. And I read, you know, that he shared with me the first act of the script like 7 years ago, at least, maybe more. And and I loved it, you know, and not all that much has changed from the first act. I mean, I loved it then, and he has a way of writing that is very funny, but then very poetic, and has a lot of pathos, and is also very there's a lot of nice metaphor, and its richness and depth keeps revealing itself to me.
Yeah, it's you rarely like kind of walk out, or as in this case, sit on the couch at the end of a what's essentially a fun movie and a mystery movie, ends with a feeling, you know, it leaves you with stuff to think about.
Yeah. I think so. And it's not even so much that, you know, my dream is for people to walk away from this and then it starts a conversation about trauma or whatever. It's more, I mean, I think it works as a really good time at the movies first, like an old fashioned good time. But I do think, you know, the more you discuss, the more there's there to discover. And I myself, having had the script in my back pocket for, you know, 2/3 of a decade, and then I'm on set and then have watched it and then have read reviews. Like I said, I'm still finding things that I didn't quite put together before that are, you know, I don't know if they're all on purpose or some are accidental, but the metaphors keep lining up nicely.
Well, speaking of reading reviews, do you do that in general, or is this movie, are the stakes different for this movie? You're more interested in what they have to say about it.
I do. I mean, you know, I do until I get bored. I mean, I definitely don't have a no review policy because I'll get too bent out of shape one way or another. And I also feel like in general, I have a pretty objective view of whatever it is I'm part of and how it came out, and a strong enough opinion that, you know, reviews won't sway my feeling about it one way or another. But with this, it's been very interesting because where it's released, when it's released, it's essentially, even though it came out in theaters, this weird wide release, they put Sony took it and then they put a trailer out Monday and put it on wide release. This is in October, put it on like 850 screens that Friday. So, you know, zero ads or awareness, but there's abandoned theaters, and then they did that. And then all to say, and the people we did work with at Sony did a lovely job and worked their very best. But I mean, in many ways, it's just released into the wild, if you will, or dumped, however you want to. And so to kind of see it spread on this social media and letterbox and what have you, and Twitter, and it's just kind of a new era, and to watch it kind of bloom and find its audience, and you can track it. It's very interesting to me. And, you know, we're quarantined, so I have too much time on my hands to do that. So,
Well, that's the thing is, during quarantine, much more so than before it, I've felt like this show is more of a consumer guide in terms of we have more time to watch stuff, but we also do not have nearly enough time to watch everything that's out there. So just hearing us discuss, you know, different movies that are available, people can kind of get an idea if it's, you know, something worth taking the time for, you know. And also just mentally, is that people need to find movies that sound like they're, you know, going to soothe whatever it is that they're looking for. I'm finding it interesting with my guests each week. A lot of times people are really enjoying scary or even specifically pandemic horror movies during this time. For me personally, that's not my jam. That's not what I'm looking for. But every week on the show, I ask my guests to just recommend one movie. And since Claire knows this question is coming, I'll just start with you, Claire. What's your one movie recommendation? You recommended Palmer 2 weeks ago and Hillbilly Elegy last week.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you got for everybody this week that they should check?
Well, let me first say that I watched a lot of bad movies this week.
Oh, no.
Thinking about one to finding a good one. And I'm super excited to watch Kid Detective, Evan and Adam. Nice. So I'll be watching that tonight for sure.
Thank you. Cool. Awesome.
Yeah, I'm excited. Sounds great. I'm throwing it back to a classic. What I consider, I'm not a romantic comedy love movie person. That's probably my least favorite type of movie to watch. But in my top 10 of movies is what I consider like probably the best romantic movie is Love Actually. So since it's Valentine's Day, I'm going to throw it back to that 2003 film, which I think is near perfect. And I'll debate that with anyone. It's such a beautiful story from the opening, you know, monologue by Hugh Grant to, you know, the way they tie in everybody's different love story to the little kid, you know, running on the plane and everybody, you know, helping him say his goodbyes to his one true love. And he's like 7 or 8. It's a near perfect movie. And it's a Christmas time. It's set, you know, before Christmas, but I really consider it a Valentine's Day movie. So that is my recommendation. We have a bonus day tomorrow. So if you want to extend your Valentine's Day, I say watch Love Actually.
You always have so much information in your answer that I have like a million things to say or questions to ask at the end of it.
Okay, ask me.
I forget most of them, fortunately. But the one thing that popped into my head is how great it is that little kid in Love Actually, he's in Queen's Gambit.
Yes, I know. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
It's like he disappeared.
Looks like a little kid.
He looks exactly the same. Exactly. When I started watching Queen's Gambit, I was like, I'm so happy to see him. And that's kind of what reminded me of the movie. But I just feel like it's such, you know, it's a movie that isn't overthought. You know, it doesn't look like there was too much planning or thought put into it. To me, it's a very organic viewing and I just love it. I think it's great. It's, you know, the score is phenomenal as well. So.
Yeah. I think that one guy put a little bit too much planning in showing up at his best friend's house to show a bunch of cue cards to his girlfriend.
That may have been planning. Yeah.
It's right there in his hands if the guy just happens to wander by the door or something. He's sitting right there watching telly.
I have a good friend who for years, the first card, I think, when she opens the door and it's written, say it's Carol Singers.
Yeah.
Forever, my buddy thought that Carol Singers was like a person. Carol.
Oh. That's really funny.
Yeah, pretty amazing. Yeah, and that survived for years and years, I think.
He should have. That is a smart play, is that you know, if they ever remake Love Actually, I'm shocked they haven't. They should, he should also have on tape carolers that he could turn on so that the guy in the other room thinks she's just
right, like up the production value.
I will say it's pretty rough that he does that to his buddy. You know,
so
like,
rough.
Who is
so
that
rough.
Serving? Like, what is he expecting? Really, he's planting a seed, if anything, in her mind. You know, oh, this guy's in love with me, but he doesn't want anything. But like, you know, I don't know if that makes it better necessarily for his pal.
Every other rom-com would have shown some flaw in that guy that made her ultimately not right for the guy she was with, and therefore it's a romantic gesture that this other guy comes along, but that he just tries to take her away from his buddy and it doesn't work, but that she finds it all just super adorable.
Right.
And just runs back inside to her man. It's just, it's weird. But I do agree with Claire that it's, you know, hard to not like. It's a very, I just find some.
It pulls at your heartstrings. Some like, I don't know.
Some of the scenarios are better than others for me personally, but the overall feeling is good. I hope you recommend Christmas movies throughout the year, Claire.
Don't worry.
Coming back.
But to me, like I said, it's a movie about love. It's the most, I don't know, articulate movie about loving someone and the simple act of love, you know. It's not all romantic, it's not all defined, it's just about that emotion. So I think that's what really attracts me to it.
And it's also about my love of the nostalgia over being able to chase someone to the gate when they're leaving on a flight.
I know. I mean, and that's Heathrow. Heathrow is rough, man. We've all been through it enough, you know? It's like miles and miles. So that makes that scene even more impressive.
I can't hear the name Heathrow without thinking of Scooby-Doo saying it for some reason. It sounds like a Scooby-Doo word. So, thank you for that well thought out recommendation. I'm sorry you guys have to follow that, but Adam or Evan, do either of you have a movie you'd like to recommend?
I'll throw one on the fire here.
Okay.
My wife we've been doing old sailing movies. I don't know why. And she wanted to watch The Bounty from the 80s, Roger Donaldson.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really good. It's and just listen to this cast. Anthony Hopkins is the lead. Then there's Mel Gibson would be like the second. Then Daniel Day-Lewis. Then a young Liam Neeson. And they're all, and then the score is really cool. It's, I think it's pronounced Vangelis, but they did the score for Blade Runner too. So it's this really like synth score, even though it's an 1800s, sailing movie. And it's a good drama. It's not even really like that much action. It's much more kind of a human drama I'm really a fan of movies that there's a lot of period movies, but some movies can transport you there better than others, you know, and give you a feel for, you know, what it must be like, the sort of sense of it all. And there's a lot of scenes in Anthony Hopkins' quarters where they're all eating dinner and the boat is just rocking and they constantly have to put their hands on the silverware and the plates to kind of keep it from, and just that detail, but it really feels like you're, you know, having dinner on an old ship, and there's a lot of screen time there. And I know that doesn't sound enjoyable, but it is. And by comparison, you know, we're halfway through Master and Commander. It's taken two nights. And I remember liking it fine at the time, but it was really well regarded, I know. And she really liked it. We're watching that one again, and I still think, it's solid, but I don't love it. I think The Bounty, pun intended, blows it out of the water.
Yeah, but both from filmmakers from Down Under, is it?
Yes. I didn't know Roger Donaldson was Australian.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
Oh.
I was so excited for Master and Commander in the theaters. Truman Show was my favorite film when I was a kid. And I think that was the Peter Weir's follow-up.
Wow, yeah.
And could not have been more excited. And then felt kind of the same way where, like, I was just surprised by, I guess, how little plot there was. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
it's most of it is just the guys hanging out on the boat, right? Like someone,
they're just hunting. They're being hunted by the ship, and he's trying to, like, it's just like a cat and mouse between him and one other ship. He's trying to Napoleon, you know, army.
I like that movie. I watched Greyhound this week, which is you know, it was like a long version of Battleship. it was good, but it was, you know, it was good. But
that movie starts in battle, right? They don't like lead up to it.
There's no lead up. It's just
happening.
Yeah, it's already. Yeah. But I love Master and Commander.
The Far Side of the World. Is that the full title?
Yes.
Yeah.
Master and Commander, The Far Side of the World. Yeah. You know, I think it could have benefited from being rated R, maybe. It's rated PG-13. So some of the, like, just truly awfulness of the, cause you know, it dips in it. I mean, that's the interesting stuff. Like the little kid gets hurt in the beginning. They have to amputate his arm and stuff. It's brutal, but like, that's some of the stuff that's interesting to me, but they have to kind of pull their punches a little with how awful it is on board.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we've got, for Claire, see, I always forget. I forgot to write it down. Her movie is Love Actually. And then, Adams is
the bounty,
which also I was realizing is that's the same. It has the same story as Mutiny on the Bounty.
Yeah, which I've never seen, and I feel a little bad because I think Donald Trump name checked Mutiny on the Bounty not that long ago when he was pissed that Parasite won. So sorry.
Wait, what did he say about the bounty?
He's like, why? You know, I think he's something effective. What is Parasite? What is it? You know, what about the old movies, Mutiny on the Bounty, and some other?
Gone with the Wind and Song of the South.
Yeah, exactly. Birth of a Nation.
Yeah.
I do love that clip though, where he's reacting to the Oscar win for Parasite, and he's just like, isn't that horrible? I mean, I don't know. Have you seen it? Is it any good?
Yeah, he's very mad about it without any knowledge of what it is. Evan, what's your recommendation?
Well, I'm going to start with a plug for some of my Canadian pals who made a movie called Psycho Gorman, which is also out on digital.
It's
right
so
now.
Funny. I started watching that last night.
Oh, no kidding.
Interject real fast, but with my daughter. And then they start saying, like, because it's not rated, but the acronym or whatever, it's PG is what they call it. You know, it's called like Psycho Gorman PG. And it is like, looks like a kid's movie and a mix up. So we're watching it. And then like, 10 minutes in, the guy starts saying, "What? Suck my dick," and then rips off two heads and we turn it off. Anyways, go ahead.
That's amazing. I mean, much like our own film, it's really baiting a lot of...
But to not rate it, I'm like, I'm trying to find like, you know, because the trailer looks innocuous enough. Anyways, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but it's funny because it is very much like a kid's movie in terms of its plotting. Like, you know, the central characters are all young kids, like a 10-year-old girl or something. And you know, it's just the only difference being that they befriend this alien hell-bent on destroying all life. And the film truly, literally doesn't pull any punches in terms of just like how graphic it is. But it's a silly gore, you know, like I can see getting a few minutes into that with your daughter. I mean,
Yeah.
It is pretty graphic though. It's a film that's just so lovingly
that really.
Yeah, right. Sure.
For me, but go ahead.
Yeah, but it's like so many practical effects and, you know, prosthetics and like truly a film that was handcrafted and I just find it really exciting to see that kind of you know, care in a contemporary movie when so much stuff is, you know, digital and green screen, and to see people who really built these characters, to see these characters that were just hand built, and the love that it requires to make a movie like that. And it's just, it's so much fun. It's so funny. So
how's it spelled? Like, is it two words, Psycho Gorman?
Well, is the title Adam in the PG Psycho Gorman?
You know, I've seen it a few different ways, but like essentially, no, the title Psycho Gorman, two words. Gorman, like somebody's last name, Gorman. I don't know.
Yeah, it's not a Psycho Gorman, it's Psycho Gorman.
No, exactly.
And the kid in the film is phenomenal. Is just incredible too. Like
the lead character,
I don't know how old the actor was, but she's playing just like a full tilt, like sociopath.
No, and her she did an eye roll. I mean, like I said, I only saw 10 minutes, but she does an eye roll that like her head almost falls off. It's really funny.
Yeah.
A lot of, anyway,
I had a couple of friends who worked on that, and I'm just, you know, it's nice to see that one out in the world the same way as ours, and yeah, tricking parents into putting it on for their children, much like the Kid Detective. But okay, for Valentine's Day, I have another recommendation, which is another
bonus
one.
Bonus recommendation. Here we go.
Which is a film called Two Lovers with Joaquin Phoenix and Gwyneth Paltrow from 2009, which is a film that, like, I think got, you know, pretty overlooked. It was when he was doing his I'm Becoming a Rapper stunt with, like, his long beard and his long hair. And this was the film that he was promoting at the time.
Right.
It's so, so good. James Gray directed it. It's one of my favorite Joaquin roles performances. And it's so sad. It's just like really melancholic. Certainly not like a heartwarming Valentine's Day film, but yeah, it's a sad one. It's a beautiful movie though.
It's sadder than her.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's sadder than her. I mean, I care.
Sadder than Don't Worry, He Won't Get Far on Foot?
Her is sad in a different way. It's sad.
Is it sadder than the Sisters Brothers?
I never saw that one.
Oh my God, it's brutal.
I think it's sadder than all those movies. Her, I guess, ends in a pretty, you know, it's
hopeful, the end of Her. That's right.
Yeah, he goes up with Amy Adams and he writes a poem to his ex-wife.
He's sad through that whole movie. It's just sad that he has that mustache.
Yeah, right.
And that pants don't have belts anymore. That was that one Spike Jonze futuristic touch. And that
I thought it was the most genius thing, but just they're high waisted. Everyone's high waisted. I thought it was, it's like the only thing I remember from that movie. And I love it.
It does. It really stands out. Like, wow, those pants are crazy. They'd be so insanely comfortable. You don't have to do anything after a big meal. Just keep on. Well, thank you for all those recommendations. Those are excellent options for people to check out. I should have said you don't have to be too Valentine's Day or romantic based, because this comes out tonight, so people will be probably listening to it tomorrow. So you should have recommended Presidents.
You're right.
But I think everyone should watch a romantic movie on President's Day. But we'll be right back. We're going to have this. Evan is here to fight. I don't know about Adam, but Evan came to play. And so we'll see how they do.
It's always a dangerous thing to say, because, you know, now I've really just set myself up for humiliation. Everyone will know that I care.
Oh yeah, but it's not losing to Claire. It's real. It's so painless.
I'm glad. Yeah, a four-time champion. It's true. It'll go down.
He makes you feel good about it. She's really good. we'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
We're back, and everybody's excited to see how these games go today. This first game is called How Long Is It? And it's a pretty simple game. I just name a thing, and then each of you guess how long it is, and whoever is closest to the right number,
love it,
without going over, is
that without going over, that's the rule.
Yeah, you know, just to, because it's a, you know, could, it's easier to have some sort of tie if you don't do it that way. Right.
That's like
I don't know if that's
Price is Right, too, right? You can't go over. Got it. Price is Right style.
Price is Right style, we like to say.
I like that you made a game, How Long Is It?
Yeah, it's just called How Long Is It?
I guess. Doug's game.
I don't know if it's one name, it's just so tiresome sometimes. So I just say, well, it's a game about how long things are, so how long is it? But the secret part of this that people don't know when I introduce this game is it always has something to do with Tom Hanks for no real reason other than just who doesn't know Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks, let's see, he said when The Green Mile came out, there were people that were not, they were not into how long it was. And Tom Hanks was a vocal defender of the length of Green Mile, arguing that a longer movie, you're getting more for your money. Which is like, well, okay, if I was being tortured, I wouldn't want it to go longer because I, because of how much I paid for it. Maybe I would if I paid for torture.
But that anyway, was your thing.
But anyway, The Green Mile, people love it. So, you know, that's not the point. The point is, if it's so damn long, just how long is it? In minutes, how long is the motion picture The Green Mile? We'll start with Claire.
Okay. I know that it is, I don't, well, I don't know if I want to talk through my answer. I'm going to go, I'm going to go 1, 2, 3. 123.
Okay. 123 minutes.
Yeah, how many hours?
But that's only 2 hours and 3 minutes, right?
That is 2 hours and 3 minutes, correct.
Oh, wait.
See.
See, wait, hold on. Okay.
Can we
one,
do
183. 183. That's my answer. That's my answer.
Final answer.
Yeah, sorry. I you guys just gave me a gimme.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, I mean, it was worth pointing out.
Sportsmanship, gentlemen.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Both of you guys are awesome. And I'm going to watch Kid Detective tonight.
I'll even let the two of you decide who goes next.
Well, see, now I would feel bad because I could say, like, you know, 3 hours and 2 minutes, right? And that would be very, a very cheap way to play, very unsportsmanlike.
Would it?
Well, because I, if I'm just going like a minute less, you know, knowing that we can't go over.
Oh, well, I don't know. I think you can do that.
It's not right.
I would do that.
No, really? knowing that we can't go over, I think that that's, it's unfair. So what was the first guess again? 3 hours and 3 minutes?
Wait, though, so you're saying you're not going to say 182 minutes because of how unfair that would be?
Yes, I don't think
That'd
I can do
that.
That'd
be unfair to you more than anybody else because she said 180. She said 183.
Yeah.
So you'd only have that. You'd have to be 182 on the nose to win. But if you said 184, the mean thing to do is to add a dollar to hers because then anything over that. But
yeah, she still has anything over. So I don't think it's.
Yeah.
You know, now if you said that and then I didn't went in right below you, that would be a dick move.
Yeah, that's the thing though. You can if you think it's.
Listen, I'm just, I don't think it cracks the 3 hour mark. I don't know it that well, but I'm going to go a little lower. I'm going to go down and around 2 hours, 45 minutes. That's where I'm going to go.
Okay.
That being the case, I'm going to go 2 hours, 58 minutes.
Okay, see there, you leave yourself a little room, a little wiggle. But that's the crazy thing. So you're saying how many total, Evan?
Well, I'm trying to keep a nice buffer on either side. I want to win fair. So two hours and 58 minutes.
2:58. All right, fair enough. The thing is, when you show up to compete against Claire Kramer, I think cheating is the only way you could possibly pull it off, because
I do know the movie is over 3 hours, but I don't remember how much.
It's 5 minutes longer than your bid, Claire. You were 5 minutes off with 183 because it's 188 minutes.
Wow.
I knew it was over 3 hours because that was a big topic when it came
out. Right.
And they didn't have the app that told you when to have the pee breaks like they did with Endgame. You remember? And they created that app so that you could put in that it would alert you when to go to the bathroom. so you wouldn't miss good parts of the movie. But when Green Mile came out, they didn't have that. So you had to really
an app that tells you like this is the slow part.
It was specifically designed for Endgame.
What's the app called?
I can't remember, but I had it on my phone because I took all my kids to the movie and I was like, no one pees after this point.
Wow.
I wonder if are there movies that are so bad that the rating is just, it's a person sitting at home. Like they tell you, you're just probably better off
just go
home or you can go pee whenever you need to.
just go to the bathroom for the movie.
I that's my favorite movies of all times are pretty much the ones where there's no time to go pee. I always find it frustrating whenever there's things happening in a movie where if you missed it, it wouldn't, really change your overall.
I agree 100%.
Experience. I mean, sometimes it's about the vibe, which can be cool, but mostly I want something to be, going on all the time. And what would be the scene in Endgame? Like, where would they tell you? Do you remember where they told you to go?
There was something around the 220 mark. Well, that's 210?
Like, you can bet, if you just can't hold it anymore.
Where they were like
far into it.
Well, no, they offered other breaks before that.
Oh, but you that used was one at 220.
That was the last one. They said, this is your last chance to go
where you this is the only time.
Yeah, to where you won't miss, the whole, culmination of everything.
Yeah.
Which I won't say because I guess the moratorium on spoilers is over.
I'm really concerned about, I still haven't seen Endgame and I don't want anyone to spoil it.
Right? I know. That's like.
That'd be a really weird person. Are you friends with an astronaut? Like what is it? Why would they, if they're that into it,
Right.
Somebody who's casually into it might not want it spoiled.
But they did have that hashtag, don't spoil the end game, right? That was the hashtag that they got trending when the movie came out. And all that, remember that was the publicity campaign. All the actors were like coming out and saying, don't spoil the end game or tweeting it and stuff. So, but it's over. You can spoil it.
Yeah, doesn't Ruffalo always put his foot in his mouth every time there's a new one though? I think he's the one that's always like in interviews saying,
they're like, don't let him talk.
But he just doesn't care and they shoot shit out of order. So he's just like, yeah, I'll wear his glasses now. He's saying that two movies too early.
Yeah.
Okay, well, congratulations, Claire. And guys, all she won was the opportunity to go first in our next and final game, which we will play right after these words. We'll be right back. No flipping.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
We're back with Adam Brody and Evan Morgan, star and executive producer and writer and director of The Kid Detective. going up against Claire Kramer, five-time champion on this run. So many wins under her belt overall. And gets to go first in this next game. Are you ready, Claire?
I am ready. What game is it?
That's the other thing, is I have to keep whipping out new games because Claire keeps coming back week after week. I don't want her to have any kind of advantage. So this is a game we haven't played before.
I hope it has an equally like descriptive title, this next game.
I think it's pretty descriptive. This game is called Franco or Frank No.
Okay.
I'll name a movie, and your job when it's your turn is to tell me if it features James Franco, Dave Franco, or neither.
Okay.
First person to get three of these right is the winner. When you miss one, the next person gets to take a stab at it. If two people miss on one, the third person gets a gimme. That's how you can pick up points without knowing anything.
That's a lucky break.
Yeah. So we'll go Claire, then Evan, then Adam. Claire, you're up first. Which Franco or neither was in a motion picture called Greenberg?
I am fairly certain that that is Dave Franco.
That is correct. Right out of the gate, Claire's on the board.
Nice.
Showing dominance.
That was a funny movie.
Love that movie.
Ben Stiller, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was, I like all of...
I like failed people movies. Like, wasn't he like an old musician? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's literally like an aborted cunnilingus scene where he like starts and then it's up and like leaves. It's so funny.
Yeah, I think you're going to end up on, if there's a reel of those, Adam, you're going to be on it.
If there's a reel of them?
For which film?
Aborted cunnilingus scene.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit, right, the new one.
Oh, yeah, right. I don't want to see that. That's still fun coincidence. All right, so it's on Evan now for this next one. You get the first stab at it. James or Dave or neither, a movie is called Charlie St. Cloud.
I'm going to say neither, but maybe Dave's in it. I'm going to say neither.
I've never gotten over that title because I remember when it came out, like the trailer just being just, you know, after a few minutes of, you know, watching Zac Efron doing stuff on a boat, it just says Charlie's. it doesn't make any sense. It's just such a weird. That is incorrect. Neither is wrong. So that means, Adam, you get to choose between does it have Dave or James in it? Charlie St. Cloud.
Evan said neither.
That's
right. Well, I said then neither, like then a Canadian.
Then definitely Dave Franco would be his friend.
Dave Franco, that is correct. Adam is correct.
Yes.
That has 1 point. What is the, is that the point of that movie is Zac Efron is dead the whole time?
I believe his brother is dead.
Oh, and he like.
But somebody's dead.
I believe his brother is dead and they play catch.
Is that true, Claire?
I think so. Someone definitely was dead in it.
It's his younger brother, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
My favorite is the movie Safe Haven with Julianne Hough and...
Josh Duhamel?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
I was so close to saying Timothy Olyphant. And that movie is so funny how Colby Smulders is her friend that lives next door that just gives her advice from time to time throughout the movie. And then the twist at the end of the movie is that woman's been dead the whole time. It's so weird. It's such a weird, because the movie doesn't, the rest of the movie doesn't play like it's about any kind of, you know,
supernatural.
That kind of,
wow. I love that.
Yeah,
I love a bananas reveal.
It's so funny. It's so like, that's why I don't worry about spoiling it for people by saying that it happens, because as you're watching it, you'll forget that it's going to happen. And then when it does, it's so funny. Okay.
Speaking of dead people movie, I just introduced my kids to Sixth Sense, which they loved. Mm,
I bet that worked. Yeah.
Yeah. They had so many questions.
Right? They're like, wow, he must have really put weight to marry Jenny McCarthy.
I told him at the beginning, I'm like, there's a twist. So the entire, which was a mistake, because the entire movie, they're like, what's the twist? Is this, what's going on? And I was like, I never should have said anything.
Yeah, but it gives you something to think about, though, too, because that's, you know, the M. Night Shyamalan, really, the pacing is like, you know, it's almost like, you know, he wants you to sit and look at the puzzle and think about it.
But then after you see it the first time, it's like you see it from the very start of the movie. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Could you even get away with that? I mean, it's a brilliant movie. Like, could you in the internet age even do that movie now? I mean, would it be spoiled for everyone instantly?
Or I think the marketing campaign, like Claire was talking about earlier, has to just be like, don't tell anybody.
Yeah.
They just, if now
this it's in the new twist, movie,
they have to say, don't say anything. Like, I like that when Knives Out came out, they were pretty good about, like, the trailers were really good at not being a typical trailer of showing you too much. And then they made it, you know, they made people excited about going to a movie where you don't, you know,
right.
where you don't share, like seeing a magic act, like where, you know, you just don't share that information because it's more fun that way. Yeah. But if you've got a movie with a serious twist in it that you don't want people to know about, I don't think that's possible to pull off anymore.
Well, we'll know soon, because his new movie, Old, have you seen the trailer for that?
Oh, the new Shyamalan?
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
It's so interesting. It's about people who like age instantly.
Right. Oh.
Yeah, looks really good. And I'm sure they're, you know, it'll be interesting to see the campaign with that, like you said.
Yeah. Anyway, but that's going to get, what kind of release you think that's going
to
get?
I don't know, because I wasn't privy to like how far out they were, like how much post they still had.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that guy's always cranking out stuff. Now he's making, you know, TV series too, because of all the streaming services needing product.
Mm-hmm.
Loving stamping his name on there. So we're back to Claire then, I guess.
Okay.
Claire gets to go first on this next one. Claire has 1 point. Adam has 1 point. Evan is waiting to get on the board. Claire, James Franco, Dale Franco, or neither, the Lego movie.
Hmm.
Lego movie number one.
Lego movie number one. I'm going to say... neither.
That is incorrect.
Mm.
Rare stumble.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to say Dave in that case.
Evan coming in fast and hot with the correct answer. Ooh. Evan is now on the board. We have a three-way tie.
Woo!
Terribly, terribly exciting. Now we're going to Adam gets to go first on this next one. Adam, which one of those guys or neither was in a movie?
James, no, go ahead. Sorry.
I compiled this game by only looking at a book about Dave Franco. No, there's some other ones in here. I think the movie's called Six Balloons.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a wild card. I'll give you a lot of credit if none of them are in it, because that's bold to grab something no one's ever heard of that none of them are in it, you know. Could be anything. Could be a very early James thing or a Friends arty thing. I'd be inclined to go Dave, but we have done two Daves in a row, so I'm just going to say James. That's my logic.
You're going Dave?
I'm going to go James.
Oh, That's incorrect. Claire?
I'm gonna say, oh my gosh, I don't know. He said James. I'm gonna say Dave, because I don't think you would pick one that nobody was in right now.
I see. That is correct.
What is the movie?
Dave.
Six Balloons.
I don't think I've seen it.
I haven't either. I mean, I'm assuming that they're not luffed balloons because there's only six of them.
Did you say sick balloons?
No, six.
Six. Okay.
Like, it doesn't matter. None of us know what the hell this is, but apparently Dave Franco is in it.
Okay.
I hope he got paid. And who was the one that, Claire just got that one. So now we move on to Evan. And the next film is called Six Underground.
Well, it's funny. It's the type of title that sounds vaguely familiar, but maybe I've never heard of it. Six Underground. All right, well, let's just say James and yeah, all right, let's say James.
That's incorrect.
Ah, shit.
Adam, Six Underground.
I'm wondering if it's this Ryan Reynolds, Michael Bay thing that just came out, or that's something, some number. But anyways, regardless, I'm going to say neither.
That is incorrect. Claire for the win.
I'm going to say Dave.
Wow. This is all day, the all Dave hour.
Right. It's all Dave all the time. Like, but he's in two movies that nobody's ever heard of that start with the number six.
Wow.
And have to do with balloons.
Six Balloons to Six Underground. But yeah, Six Underground, I think, is the movie with Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, and he's in that. Okay.
I think so. Yeah. And Dave is in that. And then, yes, there are just so many movies that both of them have been in that, like you were saying, they go indie and mainstream with equal measure. So it's real hard to keep track of all their titles. But Claire has done it once again. She's been unstoppable.
And that's because you guys were nice and gave me the second guess on Green Mile because I said I did the wrong calculation.
Oh, we did let you fix that. But here's the great thing about Claire coming back next week is she will have seen The Kid Detective and that could be her recommendation.
I will Perfect. Talk about it.
A lot,
yes.
A lot of
show.
And if it's not her recommendation, you all know what she thought about it.
Then it's Psycho Gorman? Psycho Gorman will come get me. I am going to watch that too. That sounds good.
Yeah, that does. Evan Morgan, what else is going on? Do you have, other than telling people to find The Kid Detective on it's on DVD, Blu-ray, and on demand, right?
Yeah. It's available.
Fire up those Blu-rays.
Mm-hmm. It's in all those places.
It's on Amazon and iTunes and all.
Yeah. I watched it on Amazon, and like I said, it's at the insanely reasonable price of $6.
Like in the good old days.
Yeah.
Well, we did have a theatrical run. I think that's why. I think the really expensive ones are going straight to digital, right? Where you have to spend like $20 to watch them.
Oh yeah. They come out of the gate at 20, then you just sit and wait for the price to come down. Or in my case, it to become a screener for awards consideration. Sometimes I'll hang out and wait for that to happen. But, as we know, there's a lot of movies now. So cutting through the clutter is tough. And The Kid Detective is definitely worth a watch. Adam Brody, also currently appearing in Promising Young Woman, and I assume to be seen in Shazam 2.
Yeah. That's what I'm assuming.
Yeah. Okay, good. We're all in agreement that you'll be in Shazam too. And anything else you'd like to plug?
No. Just go watch The Kid Detective.
Well,
and that's enough for me.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
And for elevating that garbage movie, Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Yeah. Yeah.
You made the line so much better.
That was playing on our television as well the other night. And I was watching it, you know, with Adam's kind of self-critique in mind, you know, just kind of curious because I know that it's not his favorite of his performances. And I also thought that you were good. I think, you know, I think like it's a smaller role for sure. But I never noticed the Fight Club t-shirt in the interrogation
scene.
That's
the best thing in my performance. That was Doug Hyman.
And I thought it was so great. I thought it was great without even remembering that Brad Pitt was in Fight Club. Like, right. I was so impressed with it as a costume choice.
That was good.
Yeah, why didn't you have a Lara Croft shirt on?
Underneath. I had layers. It was on over a long sleeve shirt, and the long sleeve shirt was
a Tomb Raider. A lot of backstory. He was a fan of a lot of things. But thank you guys for being here, and everybody watch The Kid Detective. And seriously, Claire and I will talk about it on next show.
I'm very excited.
Claire, do you have anything else to make anybody aware of this week?
Nope, I'm all good.
I love it. She's just here for the joy of competition, doesn't have anything to plug.
Does she drive away in the car now, in the minivan?
Yeah, she won the minivan. DougLovesMovies.com has all of my extremely tentative road dates, and there's not a lot of them, but you can still go there and look at it and dream of a future where the clubs are open and, you know, people can come out and see me. And thanks again to my guests, Evan Morgan, Adam Brody, and Claire Kramer. And as always, that's, God, what does that say? That's the stuff that dreams are made of.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of Gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room